You'd think after three trips I was running out of things to say. Not so. It can't be done. Have you ever heard of this said in your life? Have you ever felt this? The world, of course, has its own recommendations in such situations. In 1974, off the back of a Muhammad Ali quote, Adidas brought into being their famous catchline, "Impossible is nothing." This kind of thinking, of course, is born out of a humanistic worldview where anything I put my mind to, if I believe in myself enough, if I trust in my own abilities without wavering, then nothing is impossible. In contrast, for the Christian, all hope and strength, all possibility of facing the impossible is not drawn from within, but from without, from God. We lose sight of that often, though we have recorded in God's word the countless victories through mere frail men by an all-powerful God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And we doubt. How can a residential builder and a cabinetry draftsman plan and design a two-story clinic in a seismic zone from another country with no money, no job-specific expertise, no experience, not even a proper understanding of what they are volunteering themselves into? But God. How can the required $500,000 funding be found in order to make a 3-decade-long prayer a possibility? But God. How can this group have the plans for what will be one of the largest buildings in the region pass through a corrupt building and health board without a single cent of bribe money being paid? But God. How can a group of inexperienced missionaries with an excavator too small for the job prepare a site and drill 3-metre deep pier holes without a single mishap? But God. How can the hope for an experienced concreter who not only has the ability in their craft but a love and passion for their saviour be provided when the job description is this? You can work for free, for no money in a faraway land with limited resources, and by the way, we need the slab to be just right. How can you pour 54 cubic metres of concrete in a land that has no concrete trucks and the only option is hand mixing in a site which has poor quality sand and gravel? It can't be done. But God. Friends, I could go on, but I have a time limit. At every step along the way, God has enabled, God has provided, and God has answered. We left for PNG on Monday the 28th with one hope in mind, to see a large concrete slab installed, ready for the construction of the clinic. From day one, God paved the way and guided us each step of the way. Our flights connected seamlessly, and Joey and I even caught a nap in Port Moresby Airport, a miracle in itself. Each and every day thereafter, God prospered our steps. Every single day we exceeded our proposed schedule until by this last Monday, the 4th, we were not only ahead of our schedule, we were 2 full days ahead. Monday was met with a great sense of joy and anticipation. We had the opportunity to train the nationals for an hour and give them an understanding of the why behind what we do in concreting. The team was united. We were ahead of schedule. God was blessing hard work and prospering each step. Joey and I had left for PNG without a hope that we could be involved ourselves in the concrete pour, only the preparation of it. But now the "it can't be done" seemed not only possible, but likely. Tuesday morning, we woke, ate breakfast, got ready for the day and headed out just before 7 a.m. Upon leaving our house, we were met with the cry and wail of a young girl doing her rounds throughout the compound. We had no idea why, but clearly something was desperately wrong. It was then that Bill Smith walked up the driveway. Pastor Rex, the national pastor who regularly preached at the clinic each morning, had passed away. Worse, he had died in his garden the evening before and had not been found until that morning. It's difficult to explain something that I'm struggling to grasp and understand myself. But when someone dies in PNG, there is a plethora of challenges that come with it. Superstitious beliefs, at times pushed out of view, come very much to the surface. Those with a vendetta against another suddenly seize an opportunity to get even. Culture dictates that wrongs are righted, that work comes to a halt, and that everyone close to the deceased exhibits a loud and public mourning. And so Bill's news that morning was this: there will be no national workers today. There will likely be fighting and unrest. There is no chance of a concrete pour on Thursday. It is culturally inappropriate. It can't be done. But God. We worked quietly that morning, deemed appropriate if we did not make too much noise and were ready to stop at any point. Pastor Lamassy, a faithful national pastor and part of the work team, visited us at about 8:30 and put the final nail in the coffin. You must stop your work. This is not going well. Jono and Joey remained talking with him, but as I rounded the corner of our house, I was facing directly up to the hill to Pastor Rex's house, who was just outside of the GBBC compound. The sound sent shivers down my spine. Shouts of war, shouts of anger, thuds, bangs, cries of alarm. You could hear machetes being driven into trees and the distinct sound of trees being felled. One, two, and then a third. The girl's dorm beneath us was a hive of worry. It does not take a translator to read fear. On some faces, a deep concern for their brothers and their sisters. Some ran towards the commotion. Others pleaded with them to return. God have mercy. We spent the rest of the day quietly quantifying future materials until the US team arrived. Pleased with the progress, they delivered the only good news of the day. We only need one day and we'll be ready to pour this slab. That afternoon, Jono, Joey, Pastor Lamassy, Gabe and Calvin and I met to discuss how to proceed on a pour that can't be done. Was there any point in planning for the impossible? No. But God. The punches kept rolling when Gabe announced, "We're not going to be able to do this pour in a day. There's only one 9-cubic-metre truck in the region and only one mixer working on site. We can't get enough concrete down in a day. It can't be done." A lengthy discussion had one result. If we had enough people and a second mixer, it may be possible. Only problem? Of four mixers on site, three had burnt out motors. No motors were available in Groker. I still don't know where that motor came from. But on Wednesday morning, the news came. A second-hand motor was now available. But the warning for that night was clear and difficult. We expect trouble, either in the village or Bill and Laurie's house may also be attacked. What had seemed like a quiet night with no noise from up on the hill resulted in five white guys quietly continuing with the slab preparation. But then the news rolled in. That seemingly quiet night was anything but. Pastor Rex's house and many others burnt to the ground. Gardens destroyed, pigs stolen, and every single one of Pastor Rex's wife's earthly goods destroyed or taken. The outlook was dim until late that afternoon. Pastor Jack, the president of GBCC, another faithful national pastor, came and gave us the news. Mixed in its nature. You may pour tomorrow, the family has given their blessing, but you must do so with a reduced workforce. Many of the men will not be here. They can't. It is culturally inappropriate. So Pastor Lamassey visited the boys' dorm. Every available body was going to be needed that next day to have any chance. The first truck was to arrive at 7:45, late by Australian standards, but the best they could offer. It came instead at 9. We'd already hand-mixed about 30 loads by this time, starting the slab by hand. I'll spare you the boring details of pouring the slab, only to say that it is a miracle that it was completed. It can't be done, but God. 27 cubic metres delivered by truck, over 20 cubic metres mixed by a team of men who persisted with over 200 mixers, one shovel at a time. It can't be done, but God. You know, the more time we spend in PNG, the more we begin to grasp the culture and the challenges there. There is no such thing as a free gift in PNG. For all those attending the house cry for Pastor Rex, it will be somebody's job to log each and every person who attends, each and every person who brings a gift. And at some point in time, it will be expected that that gift is paid back. Every morning, Pastor Rex challenged the depth of that cultural norm. When over 100 people would stand at that clinic waiting for healthcare, the only true free gift they will likely receive in their life. But not only would they receive that free healthcare, he would preach of a gospel which also breaks down that cultural barrier. For at the heart of the gospel is that there is nothing you can do to deserve salvation. There is nothing that you can do to earn salvation. There is no way that you can pay for it. You don't even deserve it. And yet God has offered it to you freely. This is why, friends, the clinic ministry is so important. This is why Laurie has prayed for 30 years to have a building that they can move into rather than being in a house that in Australia would be scheduled for demolition. And this is what we pray for as we go on. I suspect that many of us this morning are facing some of those "it can't be done" challenges. And I would challenge us to think that with God all things are possible. But I have never been more convicted in the last 4 to 8 weeks that we do not pray enough for our church leaders, for our missionaries, for those on the front line who are facing this spiritual warfare each and every day. Psalm 77 says, "I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah. And I said, "This is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." Selah. "The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you, they were afraid. The depths also trembled, the clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound, your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind, the lightnings lit up the world, the earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footstep were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Friends, some translations translate verse 14, "You are the God of miracles. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people." Do not lose hope, but instead find your hope in a God who is able.